when I was growing up, they had no problem telling me, I hope you have children that grow up to be just like you. You know what's worse? It is very much worse. Take your Bibles and turn to Matthew, if you didn't know. Not quite through with it yet, Annie. I know you're surprised. We're in the sixth chapter. We moved on to... Amen. Amen. Just in case you were wondering, if you were, at Bethel Baptist Christian Academy, we teach creation. Amen. Just in case you were wondering. I've got a magazine article here, and this is a stunning, stunning thought, and I want to run this by you just so you can let this mill around in your mind for a moment. The chances or the probability of the earth being created by the Big Bang Theory, okay? They've put a number to it. They've actually paid some brainiac to figure this number out, and this number is impressive. If you think about all of the intricate workings of the earth and all the intricate workings of the atmosphere, how if the gravitational pull was just a little bit less or a little bit more, we'd either be floating or we'd be 900 pounds. If it was just a little bit less in the atom, the whole world would be either hydrogen or helium. If it just changed just a little bit, I'm just talking a fraction of a fraction of a fraction. But this whole world, the new talk that's out there is that one thing hit another thing, spun, made molten, and we all just happen to end up where we're at. It's just crazy to think about that, how it would happen to be. But beyond all that just happened to be here, all the intricate workings of the human body and all these things, if you were to put a number on the chances of this happening, here is the number. It is less than 1 in 10 to the 10th power, and then that 10th power to the 123rd power. Let me put that into a thing that I can understand. If you were to put a zero on every elemental particle in the universe, you still could not write the number that it would take for you to have the Big Bang work. A zero on every elemental particle, every atom. Can you imagine that? And in our schools today, folks, you need to wrap your heads around this. They're teaching children that not theory, that is fact. It's not a theory. When I was in high school, they taught it as a theory. They taught creation as a theory, but at least you had both. Today, creation's not even mentioned in the books, and evolution is fact. That we develop from apes is the least of your worries. They are teaching it as it is absolute fact. I don't know about you, but I sure am thankful for Bethel Baptist Christian Academy. Amen. Where we don't even teach evolution's not a theory, it's a joke. Wow. Evolution's not a theory, it's blasphemy. Right. Evolution's not a theory, it's laughed at in our school. And glory to God, I'm glad that it is. In Matthew chapter 6, let's get to something spiritual now. Matthew chapter 6. Creation's very spiritual. But it makes me really irritated when we talk about evolution. A lot of you may look like we came from monkeys, but to be real, I'm just kidding. Matthew chapter 6, verse 11. Let's start. Yes, yes. Let's start out this morning with some prayer, and then we'll go ahead and get started. Brother Mike Sales, could you lead us some prayer this morning? Please.
Lord, there's always something that your word has to give to us, Lord. Be with each member. Thank you for the prayer that's been answered, Lord. Just convict our hearts and continue to pray, Lord. In Jesus' name we ask this. Amen.
Amen. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 9, the Bible says, "After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." The Lord starts his prayer and teaching us a model prayer by praising him for who he is. Realizing who Jesus is and realizing who God is in our lives and giving him credit for who he is vital when it comes to your prayer time. It's amazing in our prayer time that we get things all messed up because we pray for this next part that we're going to talk about this morning long before we ever give credit for who God is. Vast majority of the time, day after day in our lives, we blame God for things happening to us. We have suspicions that God is trying to do things to us, or we blame God for things happening to us or not happening to us or not happening for us in accordance to our plan, when the Lord has a fabulous plan. And I'm going to be honest with you, I would much rather go through God's plan than go through my own plan, because I'm telling you, I've tried a lot of things on my own. I'm not very good at it. So I'd really rather have God direct my life and all thy ways acknowledge him and let him direct my path. I'd rather do that in my life and let him have control, let him have the keys, let him have the reins, and be the co-pilot instead of God being the co-pilot. How many can say amen to that? So as we look at this next part, he's directed us to give him glory, which is something that we've got to learn to do. Then we look at verse 11. This is one of the shortest verses, and it's also one of the most important verses. It's one of those things that the vast majority of the people in the world know this verse. The vast majority of the people in the world have used this verse from time to time, not realizing what they're even saying. The Bible says, "Give us this day our daily bread." We've talked about this in the past, but I want to break this verse down in a lot of different ways. Let's start with the first word, give. You're asking God to give you something. Think about that for a moment. Now, we act like our jobs are something that we've earned. I want you to think about this for a moment. We act like the jobs that we have are something that we went out and we were qualified for. You very well may have been qualified. But who gave you the ability to be qualified? Who gave you the ability to use your back and move things? Who gave Brother Mike the ability to have hands that could crush a normal human skull if you let him get a hold of you? Thank God the Lord gave him those hands, because he needs those to be able to lay tile. He needs those to be able to work the trowel every single day. He needs those to be able to do things in the job that he has. Glory to God, God afforded him those wonderful hands. If you think about the things that we have in this life, we really can't blame ourselves for what we have. All we can say is, Lord, give. Because if you think about what God has done for your life, if he's given you the ability to sing, that's an ability that he gave to you. I wonder if we should use our voices to praise him. If he's given you the ability to see, I wonder what a wonderful gift your eyesight truly is. And then ask somebody that has lost their eyesight if they felt like they'd like to have that gift back. We look at the things that we have in our lives. We look at the things that we have given. And to be real honest with you, we've never earned anything. If you would be truthful, we've never really earned anything. Everything we have is a gift. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for giving. Everything that I have, everything that I am, is because of God. Everything that I desire to be ought to be framed after what he would desire of me. I'm going to be honest with you. If you would be serious with yourself, God has made you wonderful. Because what are you without him? I've had people say, you've got a great pastor. We do. But all that we have from our pastor is because of him. Think about this for a moment. Think about your ability to get things done. What you do, and we all come from different backgrounds. There's many different talents and gifts, and I'm thankful that we all don't have the same gifts. I'm thankful that we all don't have the same talents. How boring would we be? God has given each one of us a wonderful, wonderful attribute, and he's got the wonderful gift to encourage people with cards and letters. I'm going to tell you right now, I run to the mailbox when I know that there's a card from her there. She puts stickers on. You think that'd be goofy? Yeah. But I'm going to be honest with you, I love it. Yeah. I think it's so encouraging to me. That's a gift from God. Amen. You find people that have a special talent to do different things, and I'm so thankful that they have that talent given to them from God. If you look at this verse, it starts out with the word give. If you would be honest, we ask of God everything that we have. It puts us in the frame of mind of who He truly is. You say, well, He doesn't care about me. He cared about you enough to make you who you are. He cared enough about you to give you a talent. Well, I wish I could sing if you can't sing. I wish I could sing. That's not the talent that God gave you. Be thankful for the ones that He has given you. Because a talent that you have, somebody else does not have. A talent that you have, somebody else has not been afforded. And it's amazing how if we would thank God for what He has made us, how more contented our life would be. Lord, give. Give. Give us. Look at the second word. Give us. It's amazing that He's asking us to pray not just for ourselves. Think about that for a moment. It's amazing that when we pray, we give me. Lord, please give me. Give me the ability to make it through another day. Lord, give me the what I need to have proportion for my family. Lord, give me, give me, give me. But it's amazing that the Lord is teaching us here, give us. Give us. I found myself when I'm praying asking for others more often. If you continue to pray and continue to pray and continue to pray and continue to pray, it's amazing that the Lord will put somebody else in your forefront. It truly will happen that way. If you start praying from day to day to day to day, it's amazing. You'll start asking for yourself a lot less. I am desperately asking. This is one of my main prayers when I pray. I'm desperately asking for the people of Bethel Baptist Church to have work. Give us. Give us. Lord, we have no ability on our own. I've got to be honest with you. Mike is a phenomenal tile there, but he has no ability on his own. God's got to provide the work for him. God's got to provide the work for Bob Shell. God's got to provide the work for Wade Hillis. And by the way, he's got a job interview coming up. Please pray for him. Listen to me. Listen to me. I don't care who's in the White House. I don't care the economic status. I don't care what's going on in this world. Give us, Lord, give us. He knows your need before you ask. But He still desires you to ask. Give us, Lord, give us. I don't want to just ask for myself. I don't want to be the only one in here with a job. I don't want to be the only one in here that's able to support my family. Give us, Lord, give us. Lord, make the people of Bethel Baptist Church have a better relationship with you so we can get things more often. Give us, Lord, this last go letter that's going out. Give us, Lord, we need it for everyone. This church isn't going to be built out there in Infirmary Road just for me. This church isn't going to be built on Infirmary Road just for Pastor. This church is not going to be built on there just for the people of Bethel. You've got to understand something. Give us, Lord, the community of Portage County. Give us, Lord, the whole Northeast Ohio. I want them to have a place to go where they can hear the truth and not be adulterated or abridged. I want them to have the King James Bible preached to them. I want them to have a place where we can have school that's more than 70 kids crammed into six classrooms. That's 470 kids put into a place where they can hear about creation and not evolution. Lord, give us this day. You got to understand, the verse keeps going. Give us this day. This day, just today. We boast of tomorrow, but we don't have guarantees of it. The Bible says to tarry. The Bible says to keep working, and we ought to be making plans. Where there's no vision, the people perish. We've got to have plans of tomorrow. We've got to have plans of thinking ahead. But we're not guaranteed. It's amazing that if the Bible says, give us this day, just today, all I'm asking for, God, is today. In America, we don't live day to day. Come on now. If you'll be honest with yourself, you've got food for at least the next couple days. If you really had to struggle, you probably got food for the next week. In vast majority of the world, they do live day to day. They live on a budget that lets them eat today, but they're not sure of tomorrow. What kind of desperation? How would you pray if you had no food for tomorrow? How would you pray if you had no food for the dinner? You got food now, but you don't have food for dinner. Would your prayers be different if we really stuck to give us this day? Just give us what we have today. It's amazing to me that we come and we've had people say at Bethel Baptist Church, well, I wonder if I'm being fed, or I don't feel like I'm being fed. Have you prayed for this day? Ooh, no, you need to think about that for a minute. Before you got to church, did you pray for this day? Lord, when I come to Bethel Baptist Church, I got to pray for Brother Dave in the Sunday school lesson because I've got to have something for this day. Think with me now. If you come and said, oh, Lord, please speak through my pastor this morning. I need something when I get there. Lord, please open up my heart. Brother Mike prayed that, oh, open up our hearts so we can receive a blessing. Let me tell you something. The Lord is speaking through me today for this day. Will you make it through tomorrow if you don't get this day? Lord, give us this day. What we need for today, not just in food. Not just in money, not just in jobs, not just in tangible things that you can hold with your hands. How about the things that you can hold with your heart? Give us this day. Lord, let me seek out every day what you have for me. Let me seek out what you have for me that you can give to me, because you've got no spiritual discernment of your own. God's got to give you that. He's got to give you the ability to look in the Bible. That's why men screw up so much when they read the Bible, because they're going on their own thoughts, on their own terms. They're letting their mind figure out what the Bible says instead of letting God come and speak through them when they read the Scripture. It's amazing. It's the only book that I can think of that I can go to the author and ask him a question. Think about that for a moment. The Holy Spirit dwells within you. You get in the Bible, you don't understand something, ask him. Ask him. And if you can't get it from the Holy Spirit, if you don't feel like you're comfortable with the answer, there's another man that I know of that you can go to. He's called our preacher. Preacher, what do you think about these verses? What do you think about it? Could you help me? Can we talk about this? Can we let the Spirit speak among us so we know exactly what this Bible's saying? Don't go on your own. Give us, Lord. Give me. Give me today. Give us this day exactly what we need. I want the people of Bethel Baptist Church to go out knowing the truth about our Bible. I don't want you going out of this church doubting your scriptures. I don't want you going out of this Bible being tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine coming out of Bethel Baptist Church. I want you to go out with your head held high, your chest stuck out far, saying, I know I am carrying the Word of God in my hands. And when I need truth, I can peruse its wonderful pages and realize that I am reading exactly what God wants me to read. Give us this day. Give us this day. Our daily, because we realize we're going to need something more than just today. We realize, but Lord, give us this day. I'm praying ahead. Lord, give us this day our daily bread. Yeah. It's not asking for steak. It's not asking for a 5-course meal. Lord, just give me what I need. Give me what I need to make it, because Lord, if I can get what I need, I'll be happy and content. The reason that we run our credit cards through the moon is because we're not working on daily bread. The reason that we go out and get things that we really ought not get and we overextend ourselves and get into all financial debt. I've done this a lot in my life where I've got to have something today, but it's not daily. Give us this day our daily bread. Just what we need, God. Just what we need to get by, giving you the glory for what we have. Have you ever been excited about what God has done for you? And you, if I asked you to raise your hand, I bet you everybody in here would be excited for what the Lord has done for them. Here's the question. Are you excited about what God is doing? Got a little quieter for that question, didn't it? Oh, we can all go back and remember something wonderful that God has done. But are you excited about what the Lord is doing with you? Are you excited about what the Lord is giving daily to you? If my dad said, you just come to my house every day, son, and I've got a $100 bill waiting for you, oh, I'd go. I'll come to every one of your houses too if you say that. But what happens if I don't go? Think about that for a minute. It's a simple, stupid illustration, right? The Lord has more than $100 bills. The Lord has daily bread for you. He has daily sustenance for you. And I'm not talking that you can feel and fold. I'm talking about daily spiritual bread that you can live every day. I love the daily bread little things. I can understand where the people would go ahead and look at those, but I'm going to be very honest with you. I'd much rather have you be reading the Bible than have you be reading the daily bread and then the thoughts of some fellow that you don't even know. I'm not against commentaries. I'm not against those things. But boy, I've got a commentary from Jesus Christ that is a lot better than anybody else I've ever read. I understand a lot of new Christians come up, "Brother, is there any books that I can read?" Yeah, there's a book you can read. It's called the Bible. There's a book you can read, and I know the author. And the author is unchangeable. And the author can never lie. I think that's the author I'm going to direct you to, amen? I think that that's what we ought to be looking for. Give us, Lord, give us. Give us, not just you, not just me. Give us this day, what we need this day, our daily bread. It's amazing how short that verse is, but it's amazing how much is truly in that about how the Lord wants you to feel that yourself, the Lord wants you to know who He is and how who you are in comparison to Him. Jesus Christ told them this. Jesus Christ gave them this prayer. Jesus Christ uttered to them the model of what your prayers should be. I think He probably has it right, amen? And if Jesus Christ told us how to pray, do you think that Jesus Christ can say, "You know what, I told you how to pray, but I'm not going to answer that one"? Does that make any sense? Give us this day our daily bread. Look at the next verse. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Now, living in this life, you've got to understand something. If we can get through the "give us this day our daily bread," we realize we really have nothing of our own. Give us this day our daily bread. Brother Freimeyer preached a great message on money. And money is one of the main things in our life that comes between you going to church, between you going to your preacher. "Well, the preacher always preaches on money. I'm not staying here." Well, Jesus preached on money a lot too, okay? And if you get your heart right, your strings are going to open up. I don't care what you tell me. And the Bible talks about these things, and it gets to the next part. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors is not speaking of money. At least not only money. Lord, forgive us our debts. The Lord is saying to you this, and you've got to grab a hold of this, because this is one of those verses that should dispel works for you. Now, we teach in this scripture and in this church the truth. There's no way that you can work yourself any closer to heaven. You can't work yourself there. For by grace you are saved through faith. And then not of yourselves, but the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Nobody in here is good enough. From the preacher on down, there's nobody good enough to work yourself to heaven. Nobody. You can't drive the bus enough to get to heaven. You can't work the bus route enough to get to heaven. You can't do anything to get you there. So what do we have? We've got to pray, Lord, forgive us. Forgive us. Lord, you're going to have to literally give us your mercy because we don't deserve it. You're going to have to give us your mercy because it doesn't matter how many church services in a row that you've been to. Doesn't matter how many Lord's Suppers you've taken in a row. Doesn't matter that you've been baptized by the correct authority, and all those are good things. You still have to be forgiven of your debts. Because we owe a debt. We owe a wonderful debt. You getting saved released you of the most phenomenal debt that you ever had. The debt of your sin. But the Bible says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice." Why? It's our reasonable service. We owe a debt. We owe a debt. Lord, please forgive us our debts. And it goes on in that verse to say, "as we forgive our debtors." Now understand, I would love, and I bet you if you'd raise your hands, you'd amen this, brother. If you could have a credit card company that would turn around and say, "You know what, I forgive you." All gone. Yeah, listen to the amens. Woo! Best preaching you've had all year, brother. But But let's be honest. The amount of forgiving that Jesus gives to you far surpasses anything that a credit card company could give. That thought that you had about cutting my Sunday school off early just a few minutes ago. That wish that you had that the preacher would only preach for 5 minutes today. Those dirty, rotten, sinful thoughts that you just had. Those things that we think, those things that we do, we have to ask forgiveness. We have to understand that we have a debt. And that debt can increase every single day if we don't go to the wonderful, wonderful man that can forgive. That man called Jesus Christ. That wonderful Savior that cares and loves you so much, not just to pay for your ultimate sin debt and give you a place and prepare a place in heaven for you. Heaven's not that thing that you earn. Heaven is a wonderful gift. He's prepared this wonderful place for you. But more than that, He is ready to forgive you every day. I used the illustration of family last time I preached. To be real honest with you, I don't think that you can get a better illustration than your own family. And I've got to be honest with you, if you had a son or a daughter that would come to you and ask for your forgiveness with a penitent heart, I've got to believe that you'd be ready to forgive them. And if you're not ready to forgive them, you ought to be. Because as a Christian, you're obligated, my friend. You're obligated that if people ask you for forgiveness, you're obligated to offer. You're obligated to give them for the forgiveness. Don't fall into the trap of forgiving and forgetting. Don't fall into that wonderful trap where it says, well, if you don't forgive them, or if you don't forget it, you've never really forgiven. That's a devil's lie. It's impossible to forget somebody that's wronged you. It's impossible. You're not going to have somebody that's stolen $30,000 from you and you're just going to forget that and give them more money. You're not going to forget that. Besides that, that's not what the Scripture teaches anyways, because the Bible says, how many times should I forgive my brother if he offends me? Should I forgive him 7 times? So what it ends up being is, well, I don't know how many times I could forgive. The Lord says you should forgive him 70 times 7. In other words, like the preacher preaches, if you forgive him that many times, you're going to just keep on forgiving him. You need to come to a place in your life where the power of forgiveness is always offered. Let me show you some Scripture. Let me show you some Scripture. We got time. Let me show you some Scripture. Turn to Romans chapter 4. Go back a little bit. We're going to deal with works just for 1 second, and then we're going to go over to Galatians real quick. Romans chapter 4, verse 1. What shall we say then that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. It's telling you, you can't work yourself to heaven. It's exactly what it's telling you. You need that ultimate forgiveness that Jesus Christ affords. Turn over to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, starting in verse 1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. Now, wait a minute, Brother Dave. You're talking about if they got circumcised, but they were instructed to be circumcised. Now you're saying if they're circumcised? No, if they trusted in that. If you trusted the things that you can do to get yourself to heaven, you're not going to get there. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to do the whole law. If you're required, if you're saying to yourself, I am good enough, then you're required to have every part of the law be obeyed. You can't do it. You can't do it. The law was given as a schoolmaster to teach us that we cannot obey the law. We should do our dead level best to honor. We should do our dead level best to be good people. And we should not let that liberty that we have become something that we use as a crutch. Christ has become of no effect unto you, whosoever of you are justified by the law. Ye are fallen from grace. For we, through the Spirit, wait for the hope of the right of righteousness by faith. For in Jesus Christ, neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. You did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? You hindered you if you believe that you can work yourself to heaven. If you believe that you can work yourself any closer to Jesus Christ, you've got to ask. Give us your asking. Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. I'm catching you up. I read scripture with each one of these. I'm catching us up. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, one of my favorite verses. Verse 13. The Bible says, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. We've got to understand that we are going to go through things in our life. And I'm sure that if I had you raise your hands, you would say, yes, amen, brother. And matter of fact, some of us are going through them right now. You think that you're in a spot where I'm not going to be able to make it through. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says, yes, you were in a spot. The Lord has led you to a place. Well, why would he do that? I love people that teach that way. Why would he do that? Why would he take me to a place of temptation? Why would he take me to a place where I've got to struggle? Where would faith be if you didn't have a struggle? What would faith be if your life was always roses? Where would the faith be if you didn't have a temptation and things put before you that didn't try your faith? We shake our fist at God when he puts us through things. You know, it's amazing to me. The more things you go through, I wonder if you're going to get closer to God. You've got a choice. You could say, God, I'm sick of it, and walk away. The devil gaining the victory. Or you can say, God, I'm in a spot that I can't get through without you. He's got you right where he wanted you. A spot, Lord, that I can't make it through without you coming to help me. Lord, please forgive me my debt. I'm indebted to you, Lord. You're going to have to take me out of this. The Lord has got you right where he wants you. Relying on the one that loves you. Relying on the one that cares about you. Relying on the one that wants to bring you through. Glory to God for that wonderful promise. Turn to Psalms chapter 32. Brother, we're turning too much. You can never turn too much. Amen. Get out of here.
Amen.
You can never turn too much.
Right.
This might be the only time you lay your eyes on the Bible all week. Yeah. Oh, now you're meddling, Brother Dave. It was a nice day outside. That's why nobody comes to your Sunday school class, because you meddle. Psalm 32, verse 1. Glory to God. This is good stuff right here. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven. Would you be honest with God? You need to be forgiven every day. Would you be honest with God and say you need to confess every day? Not to this preacher. Not to me. You don't need to go down to the Catholic Church and find you a priest. You need to go to God. Say, God, please, forgive me of my debt. Lord, forgive me of my debt because I knew that I was doing it. I was in the flesh when I did it. Lord, please forgive me. And he's waiting for you. He's waiting to forgive you. He desires to forgive you. Look at Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 32. We'll go back to verse 29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Glory to God. You don't have to get saved over and over again. Just one time. You didn't deserve the first one. What in the world makes you think he's going to give you over and over? He gave you the first one. God's strong enough to keep you. Not your job to keep you. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. I am so thankful that God forgives me over and over and over. He forgives me over and over, and for the same transgressions a lot of times. We're knuckleheaded people. We really are knuckleheaded, stubborn people. The Lord shows us not to do it, yet over and over again we wade into the pool of that same sin. Lord God, I didn't pray to you today. That's the same pool that you were just in yesterday, Brother Dave. Why in the world won't you come and talk to me? It's amazing to me how often we go to this place. It's amazing. And then Jesus Christ is always there when we come back saying, oh man, I'm glad you're back. Never one time says you can't come. Always ready to forgive. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 2. I'm almost done turning. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. We should do sword drills in here. See how good you really are. I bet you the kids would whoop you. I was sitting in chapel, and the kids were, my daughter's sitting next to me, little brat. And he says, turn to a scripture. Bob Shell preached chapel this last Friday. Turn to the scripture. Haggai, right? Tiffany looks at me. I'm there. I wasn't even opening my Bible yet. You little brat, we're racing on the next one. I'm just going to be honest with you, she beat me on that one too. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 7. So that contrariwise, you ought rather to forgive him and comfort him, lest perhaps such an one should be swallowed up with overmuch sorrow. What's that talking about, Brother Dave? Well, let's go back. Look at verse 4. For out of much affliction and anguish of heart, I wrote unto you with many tears, that not that ye should be grieved, but that ye might know the love which I have more abundantly unto you. But if any have caused grief, he hath not grieved me, but in part, that I may not overcharge you all. Sufficient to such a man is this punishment, which was inflicted of many. So that contrariwise, ye ought rather to forgive him and comfort him, lest perhaps such a one should be swallowed up with overmuch sorrow. I want you to think about, man, I'm all done. We need to be in a spot in our lives of forgiveness first. The reason that we ought to be in that spot of forgiveness first is because you not being able to forgive somebody else could be the last straw for that person. Because that person may become so burdened because you will refuse to forgive them. I didn't say that they asked you for forgiveness, my friend. Grab a hold of that. Just because they don't ask for your forgiveness doesn't mean that you don't have to forgive them. The Bible doesn't teach that. The Bible teaches you forgive. You forgive. Well, they don't accept it. You forgive. You don't accept it. You forgive. It doesn't matter whether they accept it or not. You're supposed to forgive. That's your job. Welcome to Christianity, my friend. Well, God, I can't do it, brother. It's more. No, there's no temptation taking you. But such as is common to man, the Lord will give you a way to escape. You're supposed to forgive. You can't get out of it. Woo-hoo! Glory to God. Forgive no matter what. Why? Wouldn't you love to see somebody come back to Jesus Christ? Wouldn't you love to see the backslider move forward a few pews? Wouldn't you love to see somebody change their life back to that Savior so desperately loves them? How dare you have that future in your hands and neglect to do your job as a Christian? How dare you not forgive? When the Bible teaches that how can you expect Jesus to forgive you when you won't forgive others? What a beautiful teaching that is. You come to the Lord asking for your debts to be paid, or maybe you don't. You come to the Lord asking, Lord, please forgive me. And then you turn around and slice a brother that's a little weaker than you. And then they go home with overmuch sorrow and are wasted because the prayer that they've been uttering for so long was not answered by a fellow Christian that's asking for their debts to be paid but is unwilling to help another pay theirs. I would to God that we would get the most general of teachings in the scripture, the teaching of forgiveness, and realize in our hearts, it's our job. It's our job to build the weaker. It's our job. And by the way, if you don't forgive, you're the weaker. It's our job. It's our job to forgive. Lord, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. If we're willing to forgive our debtors, how much more willing is he going to be? By the way, how beautiful is the feeling of the hug after forgiveness? Think about that for a moment. I don't like hugging. Well, you're weird. Okay? How beautiful is that feeling when the family is reunited? How beautiful is that feeling when that child of God comes back? How beautiful is that feeling? How tearful is the joy when forgiveness is done? How much more tearful do you think it is when Jesus gets to forgive you? That's the joy of being Christian. Let's not forsake that joy. Lord, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you so much for the opportunity to teach. Lord, I thank you so much that these simple verses, Lord, give us this daily bread. Give us this day our daily bread. And Lord, forgive us our trespasses. Lord, we're going to forgive our debtors. Why? Because you've forgiven us. Lord, please help us today to get a different mindset on what we do and what we say and what we think. Let us always think with a forgiving heart. Because, Lord, that's the heart that you literally let run your thought process. The thought of forgiveness before anything else. Lord, help us today. Lord, anoint my pastor. Let him preach with power today, Lord. We need to hear from you. Lord, speak through him in a special way. And I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.